Well, we are going to spend some time in God's Word, and we're going to start in 2 Timothy chapter 1. And I wanted to share on the subject of have no fear. Have no fear. And as we are aware, there are two types of fear listed in the Bible. There are many scriptures that say, have a fear of God, or the fear of God should be there, or this and that. But God's not someone who we're supposed to be afraid of. The fear is used in two different ways in the Bible. One in a bad sense, which is to be afraid of someone or something. And the other is to have a respect or a reverence or a love for someone or something. And so when God says, have a fear of me, he wants us to have that reverence, that respect, that love. Just like, how we feel after we hear manifestations like that. We just have a reverence for God Almighty, a love for him, a respect. We're not scared, shaking our boots because of what we just heard. But there is the bad fear, and those bad fears God doesn't want us to have. He wants us to have the good fear, but not the bad fear. And in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, a very familiar verse of scripture, it says, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Just really wonderful. Let's go to Genesis chapter 3. The world is constantly bombarding people with situations to get people to fear. Constant. And we're never to allow those fears to creep into our heart. Like Reuben, kind of your movie. And now they're going to be unhousers, as Sam said when he was a kid, because Susan's parents were moving from one house to the other, and there was that transition. And Sam, instead of saying, hey, my grandparents are homeless, he called them unhousers. So they're moving into that unhouser circumstance soon, maybe, if that ends up being. But a fear could start to creep in. Wow, it could, but it doesn't have to be. Or a disease. You can have a diagnosis that you got a bad cold or any other really bad thing, the disease. And the fear could start to come in and get in there, and if you allow it in there, it grips you. Boom, now you're in the claws of some death. But so there's fears that are constantly being thrown at us. But we don't have to be affected by them. The first fear that I'm aware of in the Bible that came about is in Genesis 3 with Adam and Eve, our wonderful first couple. And in verse 10, it says, this is after they disobeyed and they hid themselves from God. And this is why. It says, and he said, this is Adam talking to God, and he says, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked and hid myself. So the fear came in once they lost the spirit, they had disobeyed, and all of a sudden they're scared of God. Before, there was no fear. This is the first time there's record of a fear. And what fear did for them is it caused them to hide from God, something God didn't want them to do. God wanted that open relationship, as we know. And all of a sudden, they're hiding all. What caused that hiding was the fear. And the adversary, the serpent, had presented things, and they started allowing that fear come into their lives to the point that they hid from God. Not a good thing. Let's go to Numbers chapter 13. Fear causes a lot of horrible things. And we've all experienced fear. I don't know if we've all been in a point where we've been gripped by fear. I certainly was when I was a teenager and as a kid. Had fears grip me that just controlled what I did or didn't do for years. And I hated it. It was just terrible. I knew it was wrong, I knew it was stupid, but it still gripped me. It still directed my paths. It still made me do the things that I didn't want to do until I heard the word. And I started saying, I'm not going down that road anymore. I'm not going to be directed by fear. But because we live life, things come up, and you got to keep making that decision. Okay, I'm not going to be directed by fear. Okay, I'm not going to do what this stupid fear says I should be kowtowing to. It's not like getting born again. Once you're born again, it's done. You can't keep going back to trying to get born again. It's over. It's a one-time shot, and boom. But the renewed mind process, dealing with fear, is a constant. So anyway, Numbers 13. We're just going to look at some of these places where it deals with fear. Chapter 13, verse 27. the children of Israel are about to go into the Promised Land, which was something that they were all excited about. Moses sends in 12 scouts. Caleb and Joshua were two of them, to go check out the land, bring a report back, and then they're going to go in. So he brings this report back. They do. And verse 27, and they told him and said, we came into the land whither thou sent us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. And they showed these big, they had this big thing of grapes. The grapes were humongous. It was such a big clump of grapes. It took two men to carry the clump. And it was just an abundant place. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. Children of Anak were the big guys. They were like Goliath. Goliath was a descendant of that type. I don't know if that direct family, but just unusually big. And they're saying, hey, those big guys live there too. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jesuites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. That's because God had been saying, you're going to go to the Promised Land. I'm going to help you get in the Promised Land. I'm going to give you the Promised Land. And he's just repeating what he's been told from God Almighty and the promises. Verse 31, but the men that went up with him said, well, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the land, the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it, it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw in it are the men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. So they're holding a different picture from what God's word, his promises were concerning going into the Promised Land. And it affected what they chose to do. They ended up, but we'll read verse 1 of chapter 14. And all the congregation lifted up the voice and cried, and the people wept that night. They should be rejoicing. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, and the whole congregation said unto them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in this wilderness? And wherefore hath the Lord brought us into this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? You know, we shouldn't be going in a Promised Land. It's a place that eats up its inhabitants. We're going to send our kids in there, and all those people are going to eat them up. They're getting their thinking twisted. Verse 3, and wherefore hath the Lord brought us into this land to fall by the sword? Okay, I read that. Were it not better for us to return in Egypt? Verse 4, and they said one to another, let us make a captain, and let us return unto Egypt. Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel, and Joshua the son of Nun, and Caleb the son of which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes. And they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we pass through to search it, it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this hard land and give it unto us, or give it to us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are the bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. But all the congregation bade stone them with stones. And the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before all the children of Israel. So, two things in front of them. One was a promise from God Almighty. Then the report that came that said, that is the land flowing with milk and honey. But then it was a big but, and a nevertheless, and they got talked out of it because of fear. So, Adam and Eve did something that was not the best because of fear. And the children of Israel are falling into the same trap. Deuteronomy chapter 1. We'll check that one out. You can see through a lot of the, you know, go through so many different sections in God's Word and see how fear caused people to do things that were not the best for them and screwed things up. Chapter 1, verse 21. It says, behold, the Lord thy God set the land before thee. Go up and possess it, as the Lord of, God of thy fathers has said unto thee. Fear not, neither be discouraged. Same thing. You know, go and go get that stuff. Fear not. Let's go to Matthew chapter 1. So you can go through a lot of sections in the Old Testament and see where at times they walked on God's word and beat fear. A guy told Joshua to, 40 years later, you know, they chose not to go in the promised land. Then they waited 40 years. Joshua, God sent Joshua to lead. And he said, told them, fear not, be not discouraged, you know, all that kind of stuff. And Joshua believed the truth of God's word. But fear comes up. Chapter 1, verse 20. Here's the father of the Lord, well, the stepfather of the Lord Jesus Christ, married to the mother of the Lord Jesus Christ, coming up. Chapter 1, verse 20, says, Joseph is, and it says, while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thy son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. This angel had to say, you know, don't go the wrong way in your thinking. Don't fear. This is a good thing. I got her pregnant. Don't be concerned. Send it on me. Let's go to Luke 12. Again, a very familiar verse of scripture dealing with Zechariah and Elizabeth. Wonderful. I'm sorry, it's not 12, it's chapter 1. I forgot to put the 1 on there. Can't be 12. Too late in the book. Chapter 1, verse 12, sorry. And when Zacharias saw him, referring to an angel that had just showed up where he was serving, he was troubled and fear fell upon him. And the angel of the Lord said, fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. You know, it was an instant thing. He was scared what the heck's going on. The angel said, you know, don't fear. But again, showing God's will, not to fear. Luke chapter 8, while we're in the book. This is just a record I've always been blessed by. Jesus Christ ministering truth to this man. His name was Jairus. And I screwed it up, right, Susan? Okay. What would you say it is?
Jairus.
That's the name. So his daughter is really sick, about to die, and he beseeches the Lord Jesus Christ to come heal her. And he does, starts to go. And on the way, the ruler's servant came and said, don't bother the master anymore. She's dead now. he doesn't need to come anymore. So look at what he tells this guy. It's chapter 8 and verse 5. I am in the wrong one.
Verse
50. 50? I think I was a little too much of a hurry to write these scriptures down. 50?
Yeah.
I usually do this record from Mark, so I'm all mixed up here. Verse 50. Thanks, John. But when Jesus heard it, he answered him, saying, "Fear not. Only believe, and she shall be made whole." So here he's at the crossroads. It could go one way or the other. She could stay dead because of fear that he allowed to come into his heart and grip him and paralyze him. Or he could say, all right, she's dead, but he's saying to me, don't fear, only believe. I'm going to do that. I'm going to believe. And as we know, he walked with Jesus Christ, went into the house. Jesus Christ raised her from the dead. And she said, "Dad, I told you so." Good choice. But look at how fear could have caused that bad situation, terrible situation, to stay a terrible situation. John chapter 20. This one I know I got the right scripture. John chapter 20, verse 19. This is the apostles during that period of time after the Lord Jesus Christ was crucified. Shortly thereafter, the Jews were thinking they had the victory, and they're a bit scared. In chapter 20, verse 19, it says, "Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, Peace be unto you." We heard God mentioned about peace, being in peace and accepting peace in the manifestations today, you know, to be peaceful. And this was a charge to those guys, you know, don't be fearful, you know, peace be unto you. But these guys allowed the fear of the Jews to kind of, they could have said, hey, they have nothing on us. Jesus Christ is going to be raised from the dead, and you know, we're going to get the things Jesus Christ said. But they didn't. They allowed that fear to creep in and take hold to the point that they were behind closed doors. As we know, they changed very quickly. They beat that fear. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 2. They beat that fear. Hebrews chapter 2. Fear can creep in really subtly. And all of a sudden you're doing things or about to do things that you would say, what am I doing this for? Why am I allowing myself to think this way? It can be very, very subtle. And the world just brings a lot of junk in there, whether it be through radio or TV or people or circumstances. You know, we're constantly bombarded by the things of the world. Chapter 2, and we're going to go to verse 5. Verse 15. This is funny. We went to a show last night. We were given tickets to see Hello Dolly in New York City, so we went. And Bette Miller was a Dolly person, and I'm not a real Broadway person. I mean, I could take it or leave it. But she was very funny, and she's older. And she would forget her lines at times. And she would just go, oh, shabalaba. And then she said, I forgot my lines again. She did it a half dozen times. But she just covered herself and made it almost like as if she did it on purpose. And then it was just quite humorous to see. You know, she knows the script, obviously, and she, did great, but I just laughed. I said, that's so human, you know. Just so human. So I'm having that moment right now. Not a senior moment. There was something wrong with my pen. Okay, so we're in chapter 2, verse 5.
15.
Okay, I'm not going to look at that script. Chapter 5. Chapter 2 verse 15. All right. Okay. And deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Boy, what a horrible place to be. Ah, I was like that when I was a kid. And then I probably would still be like that if I didn't hear truth. Just allowed fears of the world to dictate my actions. And a lot of times we can do things and it just doesn't appear like we're scared about something because nobody else knows. But if in your heart you know if there's a fear that's driving your bus, so to speak. And the great thing is we don't have to live like that. We don't. We're not going to go too much further, but we are going to go to 1 Samuel chapter 17. I want to illustrate this truth as far as when we put truth into our brains, what God's word says, the fear doesn't have an effect on us. Like if those children of Israel said, you know, Caleb, you're right. Joshua, you're right. God said we can have this. It's ours. It's the promised land. That's what they call. That's why they call it the promised land. They would have walked right in. But they allowed that fear to affect their thing, and they lost 40 years of living in the promised land. Oh.
And their lives.
Right, and their lives. Their children was the one that ended up going in. But what a waste of time. Chapter 17, this is the record. It's a great record. You're all very familiar with it. Of David and Goliath. Goliath the big goon. He proposes a duel one-on-one. Really, really big of him. Knows nobody else can take him. But for 40 days and 40 nights, he hollers over to the army of Israel that, you know, give me a man to fight. Whoever wins will be the ruler. You know, if I lose, we'll serve you. They lied. But they didn't quite react the way they could have. Chapter 17 and verse, well, this is almost funny. Chapter 17, verse 10. And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. And here's the result. And when Saul and all the Israel heard those words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. And the word dismayed means to be mentally daunted, where in your brain you're just like paralyzed. You just, you stopped in your track, and that fear is what caused their brain to say, it's not working. And greatly afraid, not just afraid, but greatly afraid. It reminds me of the pirate joke. There was this captain of the pirate ship, and not the pirate ship, it was the English Army, and they saw the English Navy, and they saw this pirate ship come up, and the captain said, well, take a look, see what the flag is. So they it's a flag, their enemy. So he goes, go get my red shirt, and because if they cut me, I don't want anybody to see the blood coming out. I want it to blend so that my men are still, you know, ready to fight. So then the ship gets a little closer. He goes, take a look again at that flag. And he takes a look at the flag, and somebody really brutal. He goes, go downstairs and get my brown pants. That's these guys. They all put on their brown pants. They were just scared, totally daunted in their brain. So this little kid, David, a little teenager, called of God, comes to bring some food for his brothers, hears of this, and is like, what the heck's going on? And he asks this great question in verse 26. It says, and David spoke to the men that stood by him, saying, well, what shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? It didn't compute that he should be scared of a guy that just happens to be a bit bigger than everybody else. It didn't compute at all. Verse 32, he presents this to Saul. They bring him to Saul. It says, and David said to Saul, he was the king, let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. So Saul said to David, well, you're not able to go against the Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he's a man of war from his youth. And David said unto Saul, well, thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him. You know, like he left and then I went the other way. No, that's not what it means. I went after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by the beard and smote him and slew him. And the servant slew both the lion and the bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine shall be one of them, as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. Unbelievable. David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said unto him, unto David, go, and the Lord be with thee. And in verse 45, he's standing in front of the Philistine. And then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcass of the host of the Philistine this day unto the fowls of the air, and to the wild beasts of the field, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with the sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. Isn't that incredible? What a mindset. A little teenage kid, not allowing fear to come in, even though the entire army and the king of Israel were brown-staining things. They were daunted mentally, just absolutely daunted. And he had said, hey, he's an unbeliever. We got God Almighty. What's the big deal? And he took charge and defeated it. But he placed truth where fear was trying to get in, or kept truth where fear was trying to get in. And we were in Europe a few years ago, Susan and I, and we saw the Statue of David, which y'all are familiar with, and it's a great statue, and it's pretty big, and it's the moment, you know, he's doing the killing Goliath. And the world applauds the great work of was Michelangelo, I think, right, the sculptor, that he did it when he was 26 years old, young fella. 26 years old, sculpted this thing that the world has lauded as a great piece of work. And it is. It's just an incredible thing. And I'm standing there looking at him, just standing there looking at him, thinking, yeah, but he was about 16 when he actually did the thing. This guy's sculpting something. But the guy that he's sculpting was a young teenager. And he actually did the actual performance, not just taking a picture of it. And I thought, man, isn't that something? A kid with the Word of God in his brain, confronted with something that people seemingly had a hard time dealing with, and he beat it because of God Almighty. Lastly, we're going to look at a couple of psalms. Psalm 23. This is a psalm that David wrote by revelation about the shepherd. And David, as we know, was a shepherd for a while. Psalm 23, verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. The valley of death, one of the valleys of death, culturally was, and shepherds, as we know, did a lot of their grazing in with the sheep in the hills. When two mountains came together, there was a little valley, and sometimes it would come sharply so that the valley was really like a long rock thing, and you got a real small crevice to get from one side to the other. You're very restricted, making yourself very vulnerable to thieves and people who want to take all your stuff, because there's no place to run, you're trapped. And he's saying, even though I'm walking in that, there's a possibility that I could get killed, or they take all my sheep. I'm not going to fear because you are with me. And he just, you know, if God said, hey, it's safe to go down, it's safe to go down. And he didn't fear. So whatever it is that challenges us, like we may have no challenges in our heart right now, and then 5 hours from now, something comes up and is staring us in the face. It happens all the time. You know, it's a life that is full of challenges. Psalm 27, verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Great question. The Lord is my light and my salvation. You know, he does give us light on circumstances. He can say, don't go there. It's not going to be safe for you. Or he can say, it's okay. It looks dangerous, but it's okay. I've had that many times. Doesn't look right. It's okay. Then you walk through with no fear. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing I have desired of the Lord, and that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, and behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. And those, all that time spent in that verse 4, being in the temple of the Lord, you know, and referring to being immersed in God's word and God's will, allowed for him to be fearless when he chose to do what God's word said concerning the circumstance. But what a great way to be able to live without fear. Doesn't come automatic, but it certainly is available to be like that. And we place God's word in our brain, for whatever that may be, and rise above it. It's really a great way to live. Great privilege for us to even approach something like that, because God could say, let them be scared. Could have. So, it's a wonderful way to live. And it really doesn't matter whether you're 80 or 8. I mean, God works in us. Look at how young David was when he did what he did. So, pretty cool.